This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy and Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Alan Pogampool, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing of Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro. And by the Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, it's Terry Tote, and it's David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday, the last Saturday of February, the last day of regular season boys basketball for Class 1A and 2A. So regional start next week. And guys, nothing really happened this last week in high school sports, you know.
Rather dull week, right?
Yeah, nothing happened.
Very quiet.
Yeah, not much going on, you know.
Well, I guess we could mention that since it was such a dull week, that on the wrestling front, that Seth Newkirk is still wrestling in the state tournament. He has an opportunity to wrestle for third place, so good luck to Litchfield Seth Newkirk at 145 pounds. So he's in the wrestle back portion of the competition, so. Good luck, Seth.
Yes.
Basketball? Was there some exciting basketball?
Well, yeah, you know, there was a few ball games played over the course of the week. Some of them were interesting. Let's start, though, with history.
Yes.
It happened on Thursday night in Nokomis.
Yes. Coach Steve Kimbrough picked up career win number 700 as his buddy and former teammate Neil Alexander, who had picked up his 700th win just a little bit earlier this year, was on hand, and the two boys from Fillmore have done themselves well over the years, so with both of them in the 700 win club. So
what are the
great
odds of that?
Oh, when you think about it, you know, you scratch your head and go, geez. Just number one, just to be around long enough to win 700. Number two, to have been classmates. Number three, to be, you know, basically next door neighbors. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that was crazy. But congratulations to Coach K. And, you know, we've mentioned it from time to time, but really nobody gets as much out of his kids probably, or he is certainly one of the best at getting the most out of his kids. And that night they picked up their 20th win. Gee, imagine that. And they won again last night. So they're, I guess, the pump is primed for the postseason for Nokomis.
Shocking.
They're seated third in their own regional. Tuesday night, they went to Beecher City, and they pounded Beecher City by about 30 points. I think they were trying to send a message to maybe somebody.
I thought it was St. Elmo.
Or St. Elmo.
St. Elmo.
They went to St. Elmo and pounded them by about 30 points. So I think they're trying to send a message to the National Trails Conference teams that are in that regional with them. So
very well might be the case.
Well, yeah.
Very well.
You know. And whether you're a two or three seed, it really doesn't matter, because you're going to play each other in eventually if you win your first game and get into the second round. But certainly, Nokomis being seeded third on their home floor.
Hmm. You got to wonder if they maybe prefer that.
Oh, I think that's a great motivational factor for Nokomis. I mean, as if they needed any motivation. You
it's
know?
Not often they get to play the underdog card.
That's true.
And the
that's
disrespect true. Card, but I guess they could play it this time if they
well,
want.
Well, from my standpoint, and we've all seen crowds, you know, you come into Nokomis High School during postseason, that crowd is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You walk off the bus, you're 10 points down already, so... watch out, Altamont. Watch out, St. Anthony. You know, I'm assuming they're going to get by Ramsey in their opening game. So, crazier things have happened, I guess. But, Nokomis, congratulations to Coach Kimbrough. Just a great job. In fact, there's a little over 1,400 wins in the history of Nokomis High School, and he has almost half of them. Mm. So,
And we've talked about it before. He is one of those guys. He's just a basketball coach.
Yeah.
You know, he'll take your guys, beat his guys, and take his guys, crush your guys.
Yeah.
He's just that type of coach.
Yeah. It's just it's workmanship. It's just, you know, we see the pattern year in and year out. You know, you start out and they play some of those bigger schools in that Thanksgiving tournament, and maybe they get bloodied up a little bit. You know, maybe not an outstanding record, but they get tested early on. They kind of cruise along into the Christmas area, Christmas time. Then they catch a break, you know, and don't play in any holiday tournament. And then all of a sudden, after the first of the year, they come out and they hit that Morrisonville tournament, and they hit that Litchfield tournament, and you know, things are right in stride for Nokomis. So
you've seen Steve Kimbrough from the beginning. How has he changed?
Mellowed
has
out.
He changed? He's mellowed.
He's mellowed out a little bit, yeah. And I think that's just a common thing with coaches. Mm-hmm. Young coaches, you know, you're trying to make an impression. You're trying to establish yourself. But as time goes along, and I think we understand, I understand this as a parent, a lot of times, you know, hollering doesn't do much good at a certain point. So, you know, Coach Kimbrough is one of those guys, you know, if something's not working right, he'll pull you out of the ball game, have a talk with you, and, you know, put you back in and let you go.
Obviously, he's been able to evolve to be around as long as he's been. I mean, and with any sport, the game changes. So,
and the good thing about Nokomis with the system that they have, you know, a lot of these parents that coach the kids at the lower levels were coached by Coach Kimbrough. So it's his system. I mean, it's, you know, it's what they do. So they're very familiar with it. They're very comfortable with it. And he uses that to his advantage. So.
It has for years.
And, you know, I hope he gets 800. I mean, this guy is just, he's a basketball coach. And I don't know what his plans are. And, you know, I wish him well, whatever he decides. But, boy, I hope he sticks around for a while.
Let's just shoot for the winningest coach in Illinois history.
Well, you know, let's see. Gene Pingator, I think, is.
It's like 900 and something, isn't it?
Eight something.
Oh, is it
the St. Joe's guy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He was recruiting.
Well, and you know, look at this, you know, Neil Alexander, public school, Nokomis, public school, Jim Lofka, public school. Yeah. I'm just telling you guys, you know, it's not easy to do.
Nope.
In this day and age.
No, it's not.
So, congratulations to Coach K.
Yes, absolutely. 700, big deal.
Bet it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Didn't have an overly large crowd because we had that very nasty weather day with the tornadoes and the wind and everything, and probably, you know, he deserved to have more people there, although he would never say that. It's not about him. It's about the team. But, you know, at least his buddy Neil was there, and that was really neat. So
Nokomis, you mentioned, Terry, will be the 3 seed in that regional coming up. Let's set the regional seedings for you. Coming up next week, of course, we will have coverage from the 2A Carthenville Regional. We will also be at the Nokomis Regional and with the Lancers as well.
At Pawnee. So at Nokomis, the top seed is Altamont. The Indians of Altamont have had a pretty good season. Number two is St. Anthony. 3 is Nokomis, and St. Elmo is seated number 4. So Monday night at Nokomis, St. Elmo takes on Beecher City. Tuesday night, St. Anthony gets Cowden Herrick, and then Nokomis plays Ramsey. And then the second game for Nokomis, if they beat Ramsey, will be against the winner of the St. Anthony-Cowden Herrick game, more than likely St. Anthony. So, and that'll be a Wednesday night game at 8. So that should be a dandy game.
That should be a dandy game.
It should be a really, really good game. That is a tough regional. You know, National Trail Conference, a very competitive conference. For years, T-Town was in that conference and absolutely dominated that conference. But they're not in it anymore, and that has certainly allowed the National Trails Conference to have a lot more competition between the teams that are in there. So it's worked out well to lose them. They've added by subtracting, so if you're the NTC. So
We'll have the All-South Central Regional at Carthenville. That'll be a lot of fun next week.
That's a 2A Regional at Carthenville, and you're right, it's an All-South Central Regional Tournament, top seed to the Litchfield Purple Panthers, who lost last night to North Mac. But, you know, North Mac's getting in that zone that they normally get into once they get towards postseason, and T.J. Wilson has such a great reputation going into this time of year. Panthers went to North Mac last night, and it was a close game. All the way down to about a little over four minutes. North Mac lost a player on fouls. And shortly after that, his replacement came in and swatted a shot out of bounds. And you could just kind of feel the momentum go towards North Mac. And a couple of turnovers, missed shots, missed free throws. And North Mac was able to garner the lead and hold on for the win last night. So
Litchfield got somebody back last night.
Yes. We saw somebody who we had really wondered, were we ever going to see him in the basketball season? We kind of figured that we would see him in baseball season.
I didn't expect him to start the baseball season, but maybe come back at some point early in the season. But
Brian Howard, if he's back, play JV last night and played pretty well. And again, got him a few minutes. So I'm assuming that the Drew will, Coach Logan will probably put him on the roster for the postseason.
He'll
so
be practicing hard the next few days.
Well, you know, I don't think they want to push him too hard, and it would be a situation where maybe just for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But tell you what, he looked pretty good. It was really good.
That's
to see
a nice
out
weapon
there.
To have come off the bench for the Purple Panthers.
You know, and he's smooth, and you know, Cooper Sharp's back now. That's good for the Panthers. So, Litchfield. North Mac's a tough team.
Yes.
You know, they're only two games over 500, play that tough Sangamo Conference. That's not necessarily a bad loss for Litchfield. You don't want to have a loss, but not necessarily a bad loss. It's a good game to have going into the postseason. So Litchfield, the top seed at Carlinville. Hillsborough and Gillespie play Monday night at 7. We'll have that for you on FM 106. And then on Tuesday night, we will have two games for you. Litchfield gets the winner of that Hillsborough-Gillespie game at 6. Carlinville Southwestern at 8, and those games will be on WAOX 105.3 The Aux. Both of them will be live. So,
and of course, the broadcast schedule always available at WSMIRadio.com. But we'll have a full week of regional basketball for you beginning on Monday.
One of the most exciting weeks of the year.
Yes.
You know, girls regional tournament week, boys regional tournament week. And unfortunately, it thins out very quickly after that. And for teams that go deep in the postseason, and I've said this for years, the tournament 3 weeks, if you go deep like Nokomis did last year, it's a 3-week tournament. But gosh, it goes fast.
It does.
And sometimes you don't have time to absorb everything that goes along with all that. So, you know, enjoy it and get out there and support your local teams. And we've in Montgomery County, I think this year, every team in the county, every high school basketball team, at least 500 or better.
Well, three of them have 20 wins.
Yeah. So, it's been a pretty good year for basketball, high school basketball in Montgomery County. So, yeah, how about that?
Boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. Boy, yeah, that's what I'm saying, boys and girls. Very good year. So
good stuff.
Good stuff. That's what we like. That's what we like.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more after this.
GameZone Plus has it all, whether you want to buy, sell, trade, rent, or repair. You need to think of GameZone Plus in Nokomis. GameZone Plus has computers, laptops, tablets, movies on Blu-ray and DVD, video games and accessories, TV and musical instruments. And remember, shop local. Shop GameZone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
As your agricultural lender, Security National Bank appreciates the trust that area farmers have instilled in us. I'm Jim Miller, and I'd like to be your ag lender this season. As a farmer myself, I understand. I know that farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Visit us at one of our four locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securitynb.com. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:18, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsborough. It's the home of the Big Porky. Becoming cloudy for today, there's a chance for some afternoon showers. Expect the high today of around 50 degrees. Cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. There still is a chance for some rain this evening. We'll have a low of around 25 degrees. Heading into tomorrow, clearing and colder. Expect the high in the mid-30s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies on Monday, clearing Tuesday and Wednesday. It will be colder. Expect highs in the upper 20s. The lows will be in the low teens. At 9:19, we have a temperature reading of 45 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsborough. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond. BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro has everything you need to have a great time. And it's not just for kids, it's for adults. Virtual sports include hunting, golf, car racing, spinning bikes, batting cages, air hockey, and pool. Call 556-8558 for tee times. Memberships and hourly rates are available. BR Virtual Sports for the child in all of us. Located on School Street across from Vogel Lumber in Hillsboro. Like them on Facebook. Extra pounds are not healthy, so slim down for spring by counting calories and fat grams right now. Eat balanced meals in moderation with plenty of farmer-owned Prairie Farms low-fat and non-fat dairy products like non-fat cottage cheese and non-fat sour cream, as well as skim, 0.5% and 1% milk. Plan your snacks by including Prairie Farms low-fat yogurt. And for extra vitamin C while losing weight, remember 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
And at 9:20, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you very much. The boys' regionals begin on Monday. Girls 1A and 2A have reached the Elite Eight level. Super sectional play will begin this week for 1A and 2A girls. And, of course, we had the big Class 2A sectional at Carlinville this past week, and it wound up being rather interesting.
Yes.
Slash controversial. Slash memorable. It was,
a lot of times those games are. Yeah. And the thing of it is, everybody's going to remember the last moments of the ball game, but there are so many other factors that go into winning a ball game. So, and Tim, you were there and described it, and I could just tell, and I was listening on the way home from the game at Staunton that I was broadcasting, I could tell you were in absolute shock when the basket by Riverton counted, because everybody in the gym, including a lot of the Riverton fans, thought the game was over.
Well, because it was.
It was.
I mean, they knew it. Yeah. I mean, everybody there knew what had happened. Riverton people, just, in fandom, they weren't going to say it that night. But they knew, if you hooked them up to the polygraph, they all knew.
Well, the thing of it, and as you know, if you talk to officials, and basically you have one guy that's watching for the final shot of a game, and in real time, it might be difficult to perceive. Certainly now, with the video, we've seen clear evidence that the shot was probably at least a half a second late, if not more.
And this was one of those circumstances where this is a unique thing. It may never happen again when you factor in sectional game. Mm-hmm. Literally the last play of the game, and you have actual video evidence. If those three things aren't all in line, it really doesn't matter. If it happens at the end of the second quarter, who cares? True. If it happens in a regular season game, who cares? But the fact that it ended a team season, a team that had only lost two games on the year, one to a 3A team and another one at the buzzer.
Yeah.
So for Southwestern season to end like that, I mean, truly a travesty, really. I mean, but one of those things. It happens,
It's part of March Madness.
It is.
You have to take a step back and look at it that way, that this is part of the March Madness experience in high school sports and in particular basketball. How many times do we see in the NCAA basketball tournament team, a buzzer beater? And of course, there they have video replay. Now at the state tournament, you're allowed to use video equipment if you have a game-ending type shot or something like that. I'm wondering if they're perhaps going to expand that down if the equipment's available.
I mean, if it's available, it is a Pandora's box situation in a way. You can't have instant replay at the high school level. I mean,
I agree.
You just can't. It's not really practical. But I've always thought that you have to be able to adapt to the situation. You don't have to change your rule. To me, you come out and say, we know that this was not right. We have the evidence that it wasn't. We're going to make it right. We're not changing our rules. We're not changing our policies. But in this instance, we're going to get it right.
And you would be changing the rule because
you'd be changing the precedent.
Well, the rule is, according to the high school, there are no appeals. And you would be overturning the game on an appeal.
True.
And that's black and white in the National Federation, which is adopted by the Illinois High School Association, the IESA, no appeals. And that's just, that's how it rolls. But you're right. There's evidence there. So it was a controversial finish, and it was, one of those that you will never, ever forget.
I'll never forget. Anybody who was there will never forget the end of that ball game. It really was just one for the ages. Yeah. And we sat here last year after the 2A state tournament. After that, I don't even know what to call it, that. What
well,
happened there?
Where our local officials got thrown under the
they
bus.
They got thrown under the bus. Yeah. You remember the IHSA, they sent out this like 4-page press release basically stating why the officials were wrong. And we said at the time.
And mind you, none of the problems really started until the officials
right, it was all
were off
after,
the floor.
Right.
The game was done and the suits were out there. So,
but we said at the time, you have set a dangerous precedent here. You have come out and blasted your officials in a game. So my question is, where are they at? Where's the public outcry? Now, I don't believe there shouldn't have been a public outcry last time, and there shouldn't really be this time.
True.
But they set the precedent.
Well,
I didn't set the precedent. I didn't tell them to send that press release out last time. I didn't tell them to do that. They did that. But I guess the biggest difference, and we all know what the biggest difference is, Southwestern's not a private school.
There you go.
If Southwestern was a private school, everything would be different. But they're just a little old worthless public school. So who really cares about them? They don't matter. They don't matter.
It certainly
we have a chance to catch up with Rich Stewart, the coach of the.
It certainly seems that way. That a lot of these controversies that come up always involve a private school.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
It does. Now, perhaps my perception is incorrect, and I will be willing to admit to that. But boy, circumstantial evidence, time and time again.
It would indicate,
if it smells like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and flies like a duck, it's probably a duck. Yeah. So
if they go into video, you mentioned about state having video replay.
Right.
Does the IHSA or the IESA bring in their own people?
No, so IESA doesn't have it.
Well, I'm just using this as an example. Do they bring in their own people
it's
so that way?
The state tournament finals are being televised, so the equipment's there. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't want, I'll be honest with you, I don't want video replay at any level except the state finals. I mean, I just don't think it's good for the sport. And you know, this is a teaching moment where, you know, you do a lot of things well, and you still end up losing. And that happens in life.
That's right.
That's called life. And you just happen to learn that lesson through a basketball game.
I guess the other question
I'm going to say this. For anybody that plays Southwestern next year, watch out. I'm going to tell you right now, watch out.
And, we've talked about, I made a comment last week about Mop could be checking the ideas of the Madison kids coming in just because of that game in the 80s. This is that type of game for Steve Wohl and the Birds.
Yeah.
They'll never forget it.
No.
Never get over it, you know. He can go on and win 300 more games, 400 more games. He will never forget that one. He'll never get over it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that team is young.
Yeah.
They're
all back.
Young.
And in all, graciousness for Steve Woolley, you know, he came out and said, well, that's just the way it is. And he's moved on. And, you know, I'm sure it hurts. I'm sure there's, people in the South Central who are disappointed that their representative did not get to move on. But that's a life teaching moment there. And that's about the best thing you can say about it, I guess.
Southwestern
it's
handled
tough.
It with class. I mean, they really did. You know, they said all the right things afterwards and everything they did. Was the way that you
and,
want
and let's
it to
give
be.
Credit to Riverton. They're a heck of a good team.
They went on and won the sectional.
Yeah. So Riverton now gets the opportunity.
And see, Terry, that was the bit. I think that's what really had me so worked up at the end of the broadcast. It was such a great game.
Yeah.
The game was fabulous from the opening tap to the last, 32 minutes and a half seconds that the game was. It was great. I mean, Riverton got up 9 early in the third quarter. Southwestern came right back and tied it. But other than that, I mean, we were in like a 4-point working margin the entire way. Both teams played so hard. It was well played. There wasn't a lot of turnovers. Teams were made. You know, that's what you always say, Terry.
Sure.
Well, how many free throws did you miss?
Yeah.
Well, Southwestern didn't really miss any free throws. How many turnovers did you have? Well, they had like one turnover in the second half. I mean, it was such a well-played ball game. And then for it to come down the way that it did, that was really just kind of what made it really blow up in my own mind, because the game was great.
Yeah.
And now the great game is overshadowed by the ending. But let's not forget, this game was, I mean, you can't ask for more out of a sectional basketball game to what Riverton and Southwestern gave us that semifinal night.
And, you know, on Riverton's behalf, they brought in Devin Flanagan, who was a star of theirs in the past, and she's kind of revitalized that program. And the Hawks, you know, are sectional champions this year. So Riverton is, you know, back on the map again for girls basketball.
And they basically do it with a five-person squad. Yeah. Nine kids on the roster. They basically play their starting five the whole way. So, I mean, very impressive for the, well, they're 25-4 now, I think. And just impressive for the Riverton.
Well, let's see. They get to play,
Champaign.
St. Thomas More. The top-ranked team in girls basketball.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. They're decent.
We saw them last year.
They're not bad.
They were pretty darn good last year. They're probably even they disposed rather handily of Bloomington Central Catholic in the sectional championship game. So Riverton definitely has their work cut out for them on Monday night. So
they may have returned most, if not all, of their players.
I think they did.
They brought everybody back. Yeah. They had a good recruiting year last year.
Yeah.
And that'll be played at Millikan University in Decatur. So one of the great venues for super sectional play.
That is.
So anyway.
Who knows, though? Hey. Maybe the Riverton Hawks.
Hey,
maybe they'll go all the way.
Might be their year of destiny.
Might be their year of destiny. That's
You may say if they play 100 times, Riverton will only win 3 or 4 times. This might be one of those times.
That's exactly right. They don't got to beat them 99 times.
That's right.
Just got to beat them once.
Got to beat them once.
Just got to beat them once.
So, but you know, this year when we look back and look at our broadcast schedule, we've had some really going all the way back to football season, we've had some great ball games on the radio this year. We've been blessed with terrific matchups this year.
Oh, yes. It's been a banner year.
I don't know of a year that's probably any better with great matchups almost week in, week out, night in, night out. So it's easy to like your job when you get to do these games.
We're going to have more, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have some more, too. So
it's not really work at this point.
No, it's not. It's not. You know, it's – And to me, basketball, a 4-month season, the longest sports season of any interscholastic sport, goes in the blink of an eye. My gosh, weren't we just doing turkey tournaments a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
It seems like. Seems like it. But here we are, March Madness.
It has arrived.
The real March Madness.
The original.
Yeah, the original March Madness. Yeah, that's right. That's what they have to say now.
The original March Madness. That's exactly right.
So, because they gave away their gazillion-dollar March Madness thing to CBS.
Sold out for pennies on the dollar. How much could they sell that for now?
I don't know. You probably couldn't afford to buy it.
And then in maybe a couple of weeks, high school baseball coaches and softball coaches will be getting their players together.
By the way, the term March Madness came from the state of Illinois.
That's right.
And H.V. Porter, who was the athletic director at Athens High School near Springfield, and eventually served the IHSA, came up with a poem called "The Madness of March," and that's where the Ides of March, and that's where the term March Madness came from. So,
and there's nothing like the Illinois State basketball tournament. Yeah. You know,
we can hammer on the IHSA officials and some of the policies and so forth and so on, but still, that's the premier event of the whole association, and they do it well. So,
well, and you can go and watch the 3A, 4A championships and see some of the top recruited players for college and maybe professional players in a couple of years.
Well, that's the beauty of the state of Illinois is it's so diverse, and you get the great small school Hoosier type of feel.
Yeah.
But then in the big schools, you get the Chicago D1 NBA type of player type of feel as well. So, I mean, you really do get the complete mix of basketball in the state of Illinois.
One good thing about going away from the old two-class system was the fact that the public league only got one entry in the AA tournament out of all those teams. Now you see a more Chicago public, and you know, and that's 99% of the schools in the whole state, probably. Public league schools, maybe not quite that much. But anyway, they deserve to have more representation than what they've had in the past. And man, you see some players that are, you know, some guy named Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You almost form your own class out of the Chicago public.
Well, yeah. You could put those teams up against anybody in the country.
Well, there's been many years over the course of time where, you know, the second best team in the Chicago Public League could win the state tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the two-class system.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times that was the case.
Yeah, so.
But that's the beauty to me of Illinois basketball is you get that great
well,
mix.
Well, 1A and 2A play below the rim, 3A at the rim, 4A above the rim.
That, well,
that's,
there you go.
That's exactly how it's played. So.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and if you've never seen a 4A state championship game, the speed and the physical.
It's like watching a college game.
It is like watching a small college game or, you know, a pretty good college game.
Yeah.
So it is. So
that'll be here before we know it.
Oh, man.
Of course,
oh,
they'll be at Redbird Arena. What, a week from today?
Week from today, yeah, for the girls 1A and 2A tournament. So Redbird Arena apparently suffered some sort of damage.
Water damage
and in the middle of the floor. So they've ripped out part of the logo and replaced it, but it won't look pretty, but it'll play.
It'll play.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
As long as it's flat and the ball bounces, it's good enough.
That's all that matters. That's a big dead spot in the middle of the floor.
Hey, doesn't every gym have a dead spot?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's kind of a home court advantage. You got to know where the dead spot is.
You just got to know where it's at, though, for it to be the advantage. Otherwise, it's more of a detriment.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, did you see earlier this week, I guess, Indiana University had to cancel a game because
part of their ball was falling apart. I think a metal beam fell.
Yeah, and I guess a couple more fell, too. Like,
it's a good thing there was no game going on at the time.
Golly.
Well, there was supposed to be a game later that night.
Yeah, I know. It got postponed.
Wow. Right.
Of course, you know, Indiana, their library sinks a little bit every year because the Hoosiers forgot to calculate the weight of the books that go in the library. Now the Assembly Hall is falling apart. What is going on? I guess, what do they do there? Forget to calculate the weight of the championship banner thing?
I don't know. Maybe they've had so much snow and ice sitting on the roof,
I mean, that's scary.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Curse.
Did you see a picture
night.
Of the beam?
I did.
That's a big size. Yeah. I mean, it was huge.
Well, yeah. The initial story like said, you know.
Yeah, there. I thought maybe it was like a 2x4. Well, yeah, this is a steel beam.
The initial report was, you know, a piece of ceiling falls from the roof and into some of the seats.
So
like,
you
okay.
think it's a
yeah.
ceiling tile? A
little bit.
Okay.
A little bit of piece of metal fell, and then you see the picture. This huge beam across rows. Wow, it's a good thing nobody was there.
Well, I remember a few years ago, another the Metrodome roof.
Oh, yeah.
They had a camera
that
inside.
Video
oh, that
fantastic.
Was wicked.
Yeah, yeah. That was scary.
That was scary. You don't want to be in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Is the University of Indiana trying to get a new arena?
Well, that's an interesting angle.
They will be now.
Hey, I'm just saying.
They will be now.
Yeah, but now do you mess with the tradition of the Assembly Hall?
That place is too historic. They'll just renovate it.
Yeah.
They can't. They can't get rid of it.
Yeah, not unless it sinks 6 feet.
They're
the only Assembly Hall in the conference now.
Well, yeah,
so.
They certainly won't rename it.
Yeah,
like some.
Oh,
that's probably Illinois' problem. Assembly Hall's like, I'll show you. I'm gonna take my name away.
That could be it.
The State Farm Center. Call it the State Farm Floor.
State Farm Floor
at the Assembly Hall.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's right? The Assembly Hall.
You can. I mean, you can do anything like that. State Farm Court.
Yeah.
At the Assembly Hall.
But of course, they paid bungongous amounts of money, so they have the right to call it that.
Well, that's exactly
right.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Yeah, that's right.
M-O-N-E-Y.
I wish I had that sound effect, but someone recorded over the number.
Did it get replaced?
Yes.
Oh, we'll get it back.
That's right.
We'll get it back. It's somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll track it down.
May take us a while, but we'll track it down. So we need to get to another break, I think.
No, we got it. We got time.
Are we good? Oh, okay. Okay.
We had a funny occurrence happen last night in Hillsborough. Roxanna Hillsborough, senior night. Everything was going smooth. And I guess Roxanna had a play called five out. And the coach was shouting out, all right, five out, five out. The ref thought he said
timeout.
Huh. And Mark Briggs is like, you know, I said five out, not okay, let's start up again. So
they didn't make him take the timeout. Good.
Yeah, they didn't, but Mr. D and I looked at each other and I said, I thought he said timeout. It sounded like it.
I'm sure the coach will change the name of his play calls.
Well, that's what
probably won't be five out anymore. Maybe just five.
Well, if you change the rule back to where only the players on the court can call timeout, you wouldn't have that problem.
That's true. When did that rule change?
I don't know. It's been a long time. But
yeah, but with some high school kids, that's a lot of responsibility.
But they're the ones playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's the point of having a captain.
But I think a lot of maybe some high school kids might get nervous that if they call timeout, their coach didn't want the timeout called, and there's a conflict.
So? And your point is? They're the ones playing the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It's not going to change.
No, it's not going
to
change.
But back to some regional tournament matchups. At the Class 1A Pawnee Regional, the top seed is Springfield Lutheran out of the MSM Conference. They won the conference. Lincolnwood finished second in the conference. The Lancers are the number 2 seed. And they will take on Morrisonville in a Tuesday night game at 6 o'clock, a team that they beat last night on the final night of the regular final Friday night of the regular season. The second game on that Tuesday night will be Springfield Calvary Academy against Pawnee. So should Lincolnwood win and top seed, third seeded Calvary win, you've got a matchup of potentially all MSM teams in the semifinals. So.
And today could have an all time leading score change at Lincolnwood.
Well, it'll pass from one brother to another.
The name will
not a last from, name change. The last name will stay.
It'll go from Kyle to Tate Snyder. So, I understand that he's within, I think,
eight or nine points of
the record. They play a rare Saturday afternoon game at noon against Greenfield Northwestern. And so Tate will probably surpass that. You don't know when during the game, but he will probably surpass it today. So.
Well, I would think that'd be a situation where you just feed him the basketball in the first quarter to see if, you know. I mean, the way he can shoot, he could hit three triples in the first 2 minutes, and there you go. Bing, bang, boom.
You know,
record
you're done. You're 60 seconds in. Here's the ball. Congratulations, and let's keep playing. Okay.
I mean, it could happen that fast.
Sure.
And as aggressive as he is, he's likely to get it early.
Yeah. So.
You think about where he came from as a freshman. To now, I remember as a freshman, I mean, you could tell he was a good ball player, could shoot, hit a game winner at the holiday tournament as a freshman, but boy, his evolution off the bounce now. I mean, he can get to the rim.
And Lancers have had a good season with the combination of playing good defense. There are a couple of their main scorers, of course, Tate Snyder and Nick Brockmeyer. So they deserve probably the number 2 seed at Pawnee. So.
And when you watch Tate play, I mean, it just doesn't look like anything ever rattles him. He's just calm.
Yeah. Kyle was that way too. So and Kyle, of course, was on part of that 2009 state baseball tournament championship team. He was a leadoff hitter for the Lancers baseball team that year. So
I remember that.
Yeah. So the banner will be passed, or the torch, or the scoring record will be passed probably today at Lincolnwood High School.
You know, you talk about what are the odds of two guys from Fillmore getting 700 wins. What are the odds of a family? Well, they're the top 3 scorers in the school, or the top 3 of the top 4.
Well,
five.
There's a lot of Snyders at the top of the list, okay, in various records. On this date 40 years ago, Randy Snyder, a classmate of mine, set the single game record of 45 points in a game. This is in the 2-point era, no 3-pointers back then. And then his son, 20 plus years later, tied it. So, you know, there's some historical significance in the Snyder family of scoring points.
Yeah. Good stuff.
You got to put points on the board.
That's right. As you know, defense has taken over a lot lately, but you still got to score.
Rick Majerus always talked about sticking the ball in the hole.
Got to do
you
it.
You know, that's how you win games. So
defense is great, but nobody has ever won a game with zero.
No. You got to be able to get a few buckets, a few points on the board. So, and then, of course, we talked about Nokomis being the number 3 seed at their regional tournament. The 4 regionals, by the way, that feed into the sectional at Bridgeport, which is almost in Indiana. You've got Edwards County out of Albion, Toledo, Cumberland, Nokomis, and Mulberry Grove.
Well, Nokomis is getting shipped some places in the last couple of years.
Wow.
They don't mind, though.
No.
Have game, we'll travel.
It still runs through Carbondale at the Super.
They like
so,
that.
You know, that's been a good route for Nokomis over the years. When the Super goes to Carbondale.
And see, me personally, I like it when you travel in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the regional carnival is good for us, you know, all South Central Elite. But I like it when you trek across the state.
Yeah.
Go to a place you're not familiar with, play teams that you don't play. I like that.
The thing about Bridgeport, I mean, it's almost 2.5-3 hours, and it'll be, if you win the first night, you have to go back a second night. So that kind of gets tedious during the week, the work week. You know, it's tough. One super sectional game, though, if you go to Carbondale, you know, you're at the super sectional. That's kind of a big deal, and actually it's a real big deal. So
I remember a few years ago, North Mac went over to, I think it was Pittsfield, for a regional. I went over there and followed them. That was just fun. I mean, I was a lot closer to Hannibal, Missouri than I thought I was going to be. But, you know, it was just, you see, new gymnasium. Yes. That's not. It's just a lot of different things. It's just fun.
Well, going back to the movie Hoosiers, you see that long line of cars, you know, trailing, following the team, and I can remember seeing stuff like that, and you know, that's kind of special. That's one of those memories. You go, gosh, you know, this is really kind of neat. This is. Where else can this stuff happen but only in America, folks?
Only in America.
Only in America.
That's exactly right.
Makes us great. So
we need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more after this.
The American farm family carries on the tradition of hard work and dedication to the land. This Farmer's Appreciation Salute is brought to you in part by Robin's Nest in Hillsboro for all your floral needs. By C&B Bank and Trust, committed to farmers with 12 locations to better serve you. And Crop Production Services with offices in Nokomis and Morrisonville.
Auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement. Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you. Just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way. Grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for an afternoon shower. Expect a high today of around 50 degrees. Cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain continuing on for tonight. We'll have a low of around 25 degrees. It'll be clearing on Sunday, but colder. Expect the high Sunday in the mid-30s. Extended look for the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy on Monday, clearing on Tuesday and Wednesday. Expect highs in the upper 20s. The lows will be in the low teens. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 48 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Hello, I'm Melissa Van Giesen, certified licensed athletic trainer at Teamwork Rehab. If you have a sport-related injury, come see us at Teamwork Rehab. We provide athletic training services to all local area athletes, keeping them safe, healthy, and in the game. Teamwork Rehab offers free injury screening to all athletes and weekend warriors. Don't suffer with an injury. Give us a call at 532-4160 to make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations in Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Nokomis. Trust Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsboro Area Hospital, to get you back in the game.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you very much. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. Some Cardinal news in a moment. First, though, more regional basketball assignments.
We've been kind of hopping back and forth between 1A and 2A. Back to 1A in the Bunker Hill Regional, the top seed there. Madison, to nobody's surprise. Carrollton 2, Calhoun 3. This is a tough regional tournament. The Mount Olive Wildcats will open up against Carrollton on Tuesday night. Bunker Hill gets Calhoun on Tuesday night as well. Also at Shelbyville in a 2A regional, Auburn gets the top seed at Shelbyville. Number two is Meridian, and that's who North Mac will play in their first contest. That'll be a Wednesday game at 8 o'clock at Shelbyville, and that's a pretty tough regional. You've got Payne in the number four seed and Shelbyville number five. Shelbyville on their home floor seeded number five. Go think about that. Also at the East Altonwood River Regional, Greenville the top seed there. Comets have a possibility of playing Staunton. Staunton takes on East Altonwood River on Monday night, and the winner of that game will get the Comets on Tuesday night. So that's pretty much our look at the regionals around the area. And
that one is almost all SCC.
Almost. Yeah. Well, you know.
You have if you count past and present, then it
you
is.
You have little pockets of SCC. You have little pockets of Sangamo, you know, little pockets of MSM. It's funny how sometimes these regionals work out. So, and you know, and when in the old days when you had 1A and 2A only, where you had more teams in the regional tournaments, you know, you didn't have just basically one set of conference teams in there. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of different teams in there. So a little bit different look now with the four-class system. So,
of course, for our broadcast schedule, it's on our website, WSMIRadio.com. We will have a full week of postseason basketball for you beginning Monday.
Call your family and friends who live outside the area because we stream them all online through Network One Sports. So, and you can get them on your phone, too.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a cool feature to have.
I listen to my phone all the time now that I have one that'll do it. Now that I upgraded to a
modern
phone.
Now that you finally
upgraded,
yes. Got rid of that 6-pound portable one.
It's a cellular phone!
Took you long enough to upgrade.
It did. I'm a bit stubborn, Tobin. I don't know if you knew that. A bit stubborn. Kind of a stubborn guy. Yeah.
A little bit.
I march to the beat of my own drum. What can I say?
You just haven't found the drumsticks yet. That's all.
I don't need drumsticks.
Is that a first world?
It's like when I'm up the creek, I don't need a paddle either. Who needs it?
Is that a first world problem? You march to your own beat of your own drum.
No, but my life is a first world problem. My whole existence on this planet is a first world problem. Hey, a week from today, believe it or not, Cardinal baseball on the air,
and
it's supposed to get cold again. Next week. So boy, won't that be nice to have some baseball. On the radio, AM 1540, a week from today. But some bad news coming out of Cardinal camp.
Yes, Jaime Garcia.
I'm shocked.
Flying back to St. Louis with a shoulder issue. Unlikely, regardless of the MRI, which is scheduled for tomorrow, regardless, he is unlikely to start the season in the rotation.
I was talking with the talkie magpie yesterday, Carl DeBar, of our staff.
I heard you guys talking
about
this.
Carl saying, well, what do you think? I said, I bet you Garcia goes down with an injury. I just talking to him right outside the Studio A door. I said, Carlos, I bet he goes down.
When he went,
I had no inkling whatsoever. But
when he went down last season, I figured he may not pitch a lot more games in his career because the elbow injuries have become somewhat of routine. Nobody's come back from the shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't name a single player that's come back from a serious shoulder injury.
Lots have tried, but none have really succeeded. If they've come back, they're never the same guy. You know, you look at Johan Santana, never the same guy, even close to what he was before. And for Jaime Garcia, that's just terrible news.
I mean,
when he's healthy, I mean, he's filthy. I mean, what a great asset, soft-tossing lefty like he was, to not have him moving forward, that is a definite loss. Yeah. For the Cardinals, and remember, they did the thing, the prudent thing at the time. They locked him up, you know, bought out some of his arbitration years.
I think last year was the first year under that contract.
I think it was.
So he has like a handful of starts under that new contract, and
you have to believe that John Mozeliak figured that this was probably going to happen because remember he didn't trade any of his young pitching in the offseason, and how brilliant every move this guy makes is just spot on.
Well, the only thing that he's ever kind of messed up on was the Khalil Green acquisition.
Yeah,
he took a chance.
He took a chance, and Khalil Green for many years was a great shortstop for San Diego, but it just didn't pan out in St. Louis. So, but he's made some terrific moves over the years, and
sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make.
Well, I don't know how he gets so much. I guess it's great scouting, and he has a lot of input and has a wealth of knowledge at his hand. You know, at his fingertips to help him make these decisions. But boy, he's made some great decisions by not re-signing people.
Yes. That's exactly right. I mean, the Cardinals have an ability to let a guy walk at the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, generally when the Cardinals let you go, I think Belichick will be the exception to the rule.
Sure.
But when the Cardinals let you go, you're probably done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as being what you were, you know, you can still be a serviceable player. But if the Cardinals decide, you know what? We're going to move forward. That probably means you're not the player you once were.
Well, first off, you got to remember that when this new ownership group came in, you know, they wanted to win. They wanted to win bad. And then, 10 years ago or so, they made the decision that the investment's going to be in the minor league system and scouting, you know, and that's where the emphasis is going to be. And in spite of the fact that they did that, they still won.
Yeah.
You know, that was the really neat thing. But now, you know, look at the amount of pitching they have. Look what the Cardinals are able to do when people go down.
Well, we were talking, 3 or 4 years ago, how dry their farm system was, like how they had nothing. And in just a short amount of time, I mean, it's become the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
They got prospect after prospect coming, and they've all gotten here at the same time. So, and like you said, Terry, when they rebuilt the system, but they competed. the whole time. Teams don't do that. You don't do that in Major League Baseball. Either you're all in with payroll or you're all in with farm development. You can't do both. You certainly can't, but yet they have.
Yeah.
They lost a Hall of Fame manager, should be Hall of Fame pitching coach, and Hall of Fame first baseman, and 2 years later you're back in the World Series.
And they've lost their number one pitcher the last 2 years,
you know,
with Carpenter and Wainwright.
Wainwright, yeah.
If the Cardinals were in a different division, would they have done that, though? The Central, I mean.
Well, that's,
I don't know.
Interesting comment. I mean, got to remember, though, the last couple of years, Pittsburgh has been on the way up.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's certainly been something they've had to contend with.
Milwaukee?
Milwaukee not so much, but certainly Cincinnati has made their presence known.
I think the Cardinals are one of those clubs. They adapt.
Yeah.
They do what they need to do. You know, if they, like a lot of times in the Central, win 90, their goal is to get into the playoffs. What do you got to do to get into the playoffs? In the Central Division, for a number of years, if you get 92 wins, you're going to get in.
Yeah.
So I think if they played in the AL East, for example, where they knew it was going to take 97, 98 to get them in, guess what?
Yeah.
They'd get 97 or 98, and they would get in. And I think they're just one of those clubs. They do what they have to do to get to the playoffs. That's their goal. You know, win the World Series, sure, but you got to get there first.
And along the way, the thing about the Cardinals is they have some talent, and they tend to play a lot of different people. I mean, the 25 people are on that roster. A lot of them, the bench people, get a lot of playing time. That's one thing the Cardinals have been able to do, it seems like.
Well,
and they don't have a whole lot of power off the bench, you know, but they do give their bench people a lot of playing time.
Since Tony La Russa took over as the Cardinals manager, they rarely had a set starting lineup. It was, I mean, there were multiple lineups each and every day, so, and Matheny's continued that tradition by not having a set lineup.
And it's always such a fine line of keeping a player fresh, getting him enough rest, because it is a grind. You know, you get a guy like Matt Holliday or like Yachty. They want to play every day. You know, if it's up to them, they'll play if their leg's falling off. They don't care. They want to be out there. And that's where the manager has to be able to say, hey, you boys need to take a step back. And that'll be interesting to me how they handle Yachty this year. Reading some quotes from Matheny, sounds like they're just going to run him out there.
Yeah.
He says he can go, he's going to go, and that's the way it's going to be. All fine and dandy. Hope he don't get hurt.
Well,
because he's kind of important.
Well, you know, if there's one cog that you, one spoke in the wheel that can't be broken, it's Molina. They've got options for everything else, though. If Molina goes down, there's a problem.
Well, that's right. You talk about the depth, and they've got depth, but not that position.
Not at
that position. There's nobody back there. No. I mean, Tony Cruz is nice.
Yeah,
he's a good backup.
Yeah,
good backup. But
what Molina brings to the ball club, especially with the young pitching staff, is pretty irreplaceable.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's why you had to sign him to an extension, probably more so than you had to sign Albert, because with, you know, Tony leaving and Dave Duncan leaving and all the young pitching that you had coming up through the system, you had to have somebody there who could be stability.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so. And I don't know, there's just an air of confidence, I think, with Cardinal pitchers with Molina behind the plate.
They don't shake him off.
They don't. They, you know, why? Why would you?
Well, they shake him off, the ball ends up in the third row of the bleachers. Well,
you know, and that we've
bad
seen
idea.
It. We've seen that happen
Edward
before.
Mojica.
Yeah.
Learned that. Meanwhile,
even when Molina was out for a few days last year, you know, you still had the Molina influence when Tony Cruz was in there catching. Yeah. Now, Tony doesn't possess the athletic ability that Yadier Molina does, but you know, they're still pretty much the same approach as far as the pitching.
The pitchers still trust Tony, have a good trust in Tony Cruz and how he's going to call a ball game.
Well, he handles the staff nice, but Yadier handles it better than anybody in baseball.
Yeah. He's a surefire Hall of Famer 5 years after he's out.
He's on his way.
Yeah. We talked about how well John Mozeliak has done, and meanwhile, over in Cincinnati with former Cardinals general manager Walt Jocketty, not quite sure what he's
doing. You wonder. I don't understand why you would give Homer Bailey $105 million.
I really thought Jocketty would be canned last year. I bet he gets canned this year.
They should fire him just for that. I mean, I don't understand.
Homer Bailey's not even a .500 pitcher.
No.
This is the year. I mean, obviously, we thought he could have been fired last year, but this is the year. If they don't do anything, then his job's on the line.
He's like the third or fourth pitcher on their staff, and he's a $100 million guy?
Yeah.
I think he's making more than their ace.
I mean, that's crazy.
The high price of mediocrity.
Well, put it this way. Homer Bailey has got a bigger contract than Adam Wainwright.
Yeah.
Who do you want? Who do you want?
Well, I know who I want.
You know? Homer Bailey.
Game seven of the playoffs. I know who I want.
I know who I want. That's
better
exactly
watch.
You're
going to get a phone call. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't care.
Donnie Downs. He knows the truth. He knows.
He may not admit it, but he knows it.
He knows the truth. Hey, we're out of time. Boys Regionals coming up on Monday. Check the website, WSMIRadio.com, for the broadcast schedule.
Redbirds next Saturday on AM 1540 at 11:45.
Sir, and good luck to Seth Newkirk.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
For Tobinot, David Jenkins, Terry Tote, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.